Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Professing your undying love for me, the fact that I know this song.
I love that you
course,
know this.
And all the words. But let's go to that next level. You ready to go next level?
Yes.
What movie?
This isn't a movie?
Oh,
man. Now I feel like I've disappointed you, but I did not know that it was in a movie.
This is when Christian Slater, in True Romance, goes to defend the honor of his prostitute girlfriend, Patricia Arquette.
From James Gandolfini.
No. Gary Oldman. Who plays the pimp?
Oh, that's
when
right.
When
they're watching the Mac with Richard Pryor.
That's
you're
exactly
right. You're
right.
Absolutely
and,
right.
And you won't mess with me.
Romance.
And he shoves the light in his face. And yeah,
nice.
I'm just saying. True Romance is a great movie.
True Romance is one of the best movies ever. Yeah, it's Darren's favorite. And it's so weird watching Sopranos because it's like,
I know.
Well, he's the same guy.
Right,
yeah,
it's the same guy, right? It's the character that James Gandolfini plays. You know, insert James Gandolfini here is the sticker they issue every time you try to write a mobster movie.
May he rest in peace. James Gandolfini.
And Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, that's right.
5'11.
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah,
Alabama
she's so great.
Whirly.
I'm not Florida trash.
Now I just got to go watch that movie again.
I know. That's what we should do.
5'11 on News Radio 92.3 and informative local, I don't know, movies.
And keeping an eye on is it a hurricane yet?
You know what? I haven't checked this morning. It was supposed to be. Hold on. Let me just refresh the models here and see if we've got an official declaration. Come on, Noah. Pull up your Hurricane Idalia. Sure enough. This says 75 miles an hour. Yeah, that's right. Yep, right at the tipping point before where it's a Category 1 hurricane. You know, it's funny. I don't know sometimes how to describe a thing on the radio. You know, it's hard to put into words what a picture is. And it dawned on me how to describe Idalia, the path,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Imagine if somebody were standing on basically in Honduras. If you don't know where Honduras is, it's not the Yucatan Peninsula, but like the next jut
mm-hmm.
down.
That's
okay?
right, that's right.
If somebody was standing on Honduras and bowling towards the pocket of Florida left-handed.
No, that's the very perfect way to describe
that's,
it.
That's exactly it.
It does the curve, and absolutely.
There you go. It's going to be a serious, probably a Category 2 to a Category 3. I know the governor keeps saying Category 3, and certainly he has better information than I do or the best information. I'm just saying that, you know, the models that I'm seeing don't seem to guarantee anything that is a Category 3, but certainly this is going to be a major storm that's going to hit, not here, but is going to hit, you know, basically east of Apalachicola, Big Bend, north of Tampa. That whole area is going to be affected tomorrow morning. All right.
The storm is then forecast to make landfall along Florida's Big Bend Wednesday morning as a major hurricane. And the 5 o'clock advisory, the National Hurricane Center nudged the track a little bit to the west. There were a lot of computer models that were pushing it a little bit to the west. And so whereas they had it impacting landfall in Levy County, now they moved it a little bit over west to Taylor-Dixie County. Look, these things can change, but that is a slight deviation from what had been earlier today.
Yeah, slight wiggles. I mean, not surprising that's going to happen, but they've actually increased the storm surge warning based on the timing of its arrival coinciding more with high tide, I think is the idea.
There is a hurricane warning for the Florida Gulf Coast from Sarasota all the way to Franklin County. The 5 p.m. advisory includes that if the storm hits at high tide, storm surge could reach 8 to 12 feet in some areas, particularly in that Big Bend region. This is life-threatening storm surge. If you're in coastal low-lying areas from Tampa up through Big Bend, you need to be ready to evacuate to an inland area.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And by the way, some of the things that they've done, like waiving tolls in the vicinity, there have been evacuation orders given in the vicinity. Again, not here particularly, but this is something, you know, it seems like every year we get sort of new either emphasis or even new advisories. Like, you know, about 2 years ago, I think, is when they really started moving away from the first 72 hours is on you to 7 days.
Right.
You know, they really started doing that. This is one that, you know, I don't think I remember hearing in the past. Maybe some of you who have lived here longer will remember, but I just don't remember an emphasis on this kind of guidance previously.
You don't need to leave the state. You don't need to drive hundreds of miles. You don't have to try to outrun the storm. If you're in those low-lying areas, the reason why they're advising you to evacuate is because you're going to be susceptible to storm surge. And so if you get to a place that's higher ground in a safe structure, you can ride out the storm there and then go back to your home once the storm passes and all is clear. Shelters, all these places that do this are opening shelters. I think most of the shelters will probably be open sometime tomorrow morning. That's a place you can go. You can be safe there. You can go to friends' house, family's house. You can go to hotels and do that. But you do not need to get on the road and try to drive hundreds of miles to get out of any impacts of the storm. That's not advisable, and it's not necessary.
Yeah, tens of miles rather than hundreds of miles, which, you know, you might think, well, why do they emphasize that? Well, partially because what happens when everybody's trying to get hundreds of miles away? You have far more traffic congestion, right? The kinds of problems you get during evacuations from overwhelmed roads come from how much traffic. Well, if you can convince people that they don't need to go 80 miles, they only need to go about 10 miles, now all of a sudden you've dramatically decreased the amount of traffic on any given roadway, right? And what they're basically saying is, you know, step aside, don't run all the way away, you know, which just makes sense, right? I mean, if you're, again, back to the bowling metaphor, if you're standing on the alley and somebody throws a ball at you, what's your best way to go? You're trying to outrun it, or do you just step
aside?
That's
true. You don't need to go to the parking lot.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't need to go to the parking lot. Just step to the next lane. You'll be okay. And so that's, you know, and the reason I mention that is because a lot of this is, you know, for us, it's an event that's affecting our state. Obviously, we have first responders that are there. You know, we've got a team from Santa Rosa and Escambia County that's already been deployed. You know, they're going down south to Lafayette County. But, you know, it's also a good reminder of some of the basic lessons that if we have a storm, we would have to deal with. You know, just you don't have to leave. Well, I mean, here, you know, leaving the state, going to Alabama is really, you know, a different feature than, you know, leaving, for example, from Tampa. But the point is you don't have to go all the way. You just have to go enough of a way. And that makes sense. You know, they got schools closed, Tampa Airport's closed, National Guardsmen activated, and they've deployed Starlink satellites for internet service. You know, they've really done what they can in advance of the landfall expected early tomorrow morning. They keep saying a Category 3, and we'll see if that turns out to be the case. And by the way, they increased the storm surge from 7 to 11 to 8 to 12 feet because of the tide and the time of day it's going to hit. And this is one last thing on this for the moment, is Kevin Guthrie said something yesterday that is, he's the emergency manager for Florida. He said something that, again, this storm's not going to affect us other than maybe to get some collateral rain. But he made a reminder note that is, I think, very important for people to remember. It's the kind of thing where you're either going to be like, oh, duh, or you're going to be like, oh, yeah. You know, like that kind of thing. Okay, so here's what he said.
I want to again stress that even if your community is not in the forecast cone, as the governor's already said, it does not mean that you're in the clear. That cone means that is where the eye is expected to be, not where the hurricane is expected to be.
That is such a great, it's sort of definitionally true, but it's a great reminder that when you see the map on the NOAA map, the cone of uncertainty, as everybody calls it, which I hate that term, quite frankly, but that's the term that we use. The cone of uncertainty is not the path or the presence or the impact of the storm. The cone of uncertainty is where will the eye of the hurricane go? The little bubble is all of the high likelihood path or presence of the eye. But the eye is not the only effect of the storm. The effect of the storm is dozens of miles past that, more so to the north and the east of wherever the storm is, right, as it pushes water towards everything. And so you might say, well, I'm not in the cone. Yes, but.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And also, if you're to the west of the cone, that's where the clean side of the hurricane is. That's where you're not likely to have any effects or very little effects at all.
Right.
The dirty side, tremendous effects can be tornadoes and rain and everything else. So, you know, it's a good note about how in our brains, I think we tend to want to look at the cone and think, well, that's not coming here. You know, right? That's not the way you read that anyway. And I thought that was a good point.
So please make sure if you're in Pinellas, Pasco, Citrus, Hernando, Lake, Sumter, Marion County, and so on, you're moving into inland Florida, you're going to be in the right front portion of that hurricane. That's where what they call the dirty side of the storm. You're going to experience problems. Again, the governor has said it. You're going to experience power outages. So please be prepared for those power outages.
Much more so than just what the little bubble on the cone of uncertainty says. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you hear the good news that maintaining a 2023 Volkswagen Atlas, Atlas Cross Sport, Taos, and ID4 costs less than their respective Toyota, Honda, and Subaru competitors? And the really good news is these VWs are all at Piedmore Imports. Drive the 2023 Jetta Sport from $23,399, the crossover VW Taos S from $25,599. The Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology is on sale from $39,799. And the family-sized VW Atlas SE with technology is now from $42,199. Plus, the VW ID4, the all-new electric SUV, is now from $36,836. So don't miss your chance to own the smarter choice, a Volkswagen from Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports is on New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before sales, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. ID4 discount includes $7,500 manufacturer rebate. Cost of maintenance based on 2023 study by Mid-Century. See dealer for details.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You expect me to believe that pack of lies, Mike Wazowski?
Mike Wazowski. Ah!
That was the opening song to Blade in 98. Does that seem right to you? Maybe I'm misunderstanding what this text means.
It sounds like
a song out of Blade. Maybe
yeah, I
not
think
that.
It
okay.
sounds like the. Oh, but
you know,
maybe.
You know who we missed in mentioning all of the long list of fantastic actors in True Romance? You know who we missed? The best part in the movie, Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah. Don't condescend to me, man.
Don't condescend to me, man. No.
Smoking weed out of a honey bear.
We're quoting it wrong. Don't condescend me, man.
No, you're absolutely right.
There's no preposition in it.
I love it. It's such a funny movie. It's like a gangster movie, in addition to being the most romantic movie in the whole wide world.
Yeah, it really is. You wouldn't think so.
With comic relief. But yeah, at one point, because they're trying to find this guy, and Brad Pitt is like this high, dirty roommate that never cleans, and he draws him a map. Remember that? You don't want to go around here. The traffic's bad. So you go here. Don't condescend me.
Man. Oh, 524 on News Radio. Now I definitely need to go watch that movie again.
I know, right?
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, Idalia has now reached hurricane status. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is currently a Cat 1, packing winds of about 75 miles an hour, expected to make landfall sometime tomorrow morning. A faculty member at the University of North Carolina has died after a shooting on campus yesterday. Police say they do have a suspect in custody. No name or charges have been released as of yet, but some earlier reporting indicated the shooter may have been a grad student. Officials there say classes are canceled for the day. And the search is on for some suspects, Andrew, after a TV news crew was robbed at gunpoint in Chicago. Apparently, a reporter and photographer for Univision Chicago were reporting on a story about a string of armed robberies.
Of course it was.
When three men wearing ski masks exited a couple of cars and walked towards them with firearms. They took some items from their SUV and then drove away.
It's awful, but
yeah, but you know they're just doing their appropriate research is all that is, right? That's, you know, they're learning firsthand how to
their story is going to be great.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
all I can
right.
say.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. That's how you get Capone.
Nice.
That's the Chicago
that's
way.
That's the Chicago way. I grew up there, so
I thought
you know,
it was a hot dog thing.
You know what? You know what's funny? I don't know if it's still true. You know, in this day, but you know, when I was running around Europe in the early '90s or whatever, when you tell people you're from Chicago, you know what they say? Oh, gangsters, Al Capone. Pew, pew. I'm like,
oh yeah,
yeah, 70 years ago. But you know, that's. That people know what they know about your place,
right?
Right. So I was kind of wondering, you know, oh, I'm from Florida. What would they say? I'm curious.
Dude, you should go to Reddit. It's awful. They think our state is, you know.
I know.
Just like the rest of the United States.
You know, but maybe that works for us. Maybe that, you know, we love the visitors and we love the influx, but maybe having a little bit of a bad reputation keeps even more away, you know, in a way that's helpful. Because, like, if we're having trouble handling the surge we're experiencing now, maybe a little bit of bad press isn't so terrible. Just for generally keeping
Keep
people
out,
away.
Riffraff.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on?
Yes! I love this.
Have you seen the story about the Spanish Soccer Federation and President Rubiales and the kiss that ended his career? Remember when the Spanish women won the World Cup? They're all celebrating and have a good time. And the head of the soccer federation in Spain, I think, is if some of these details are not, it's not my forte, so I apologize. But in the, like, victory line, you know, as the players were going through, I think it was the player who scored the goal, if I remember correctly. And he kind of grabs her, and they grab each other, and she, like, I mean, he grabs her by the shoulders or around the neck or head or whatever, and he, like, kisses her. And then he, like, kisses her on the mouth. But apparently that's not cool by her. The whole team has threatened not to play anymore if they don't get rid of him for this being a, like, unwanted, no consent given sexual assault on her person. He's now been suspended for 90 days. There's a question of whether he's going to be forced to resign or not. And
this is Spain?
This is Spain, yeah. So
God,
my
sure is different from the U.S.
Right. Well, my first reaction is just, you know, I kind of want to write it off at first as being, you know, harmless Europeanism. You know, just exuberance.
Don't they kiss each other anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Like exuberance of the moment. And, you know, she doesn't seem to have a reaction in the moment if you've seen the video. But imagine that this happens to you and you're really revolted by it in the moment. What do you do? It's so unexpected. And if that is sort of the forever thing that you remember from that moment of great triumph and victory. Your whole life you've worked for this thing, and then some gross dude mashes on you because of whatever reason, I can see why there'd be a complaint. So, you know, I'll just tell you, my first reaction is it looked like an overreaction based on it seemed like a relatively commonplace thing. But if, you know, if they're taking it so seriously that they want him gone and none of them are willing to play and this is their statement, you know, their reaction is the one that matters, not my reaction at a distance. You know what I mean? So And there may be backstory here that we're not all familiar with. You know, maybe he's a... And I know there's been a couple of other things about his behavior that have been raised. And so I did say, you know, something like this seems not that big of a deal in the grand context of everything we know about Europeans and humans and whatever. But if that's the reaction from them and, you know, and she's not saying, yeah, I mean, no big deal. Well, you know, if it's everybody else trying to virtue signal is a big deal, then I'd definitely. But if she and the team are all like, oh, no, this is bad. Okay. You know, listen to that. Right. Pay attention. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you know what I didn't know? Bob Barker flew in World War II.
He did?
Yeah. He enlisted in the Navy after Pearl Harbor, and he was one of the guys like in Devotion where he enlisted because of Pearl Harbor and never got to fly because it took too long to train him. Had never seen a plane, been in a plane, or seen the ocean until he did training to land on carriers.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Floridians on the Gulf Coast evacuating low-lying homes as Hurricane Idalia churns towards the region.
It's also forecast to rapidly intensify into a major hurricane before it makes landfall early Wednesday morning.
Eric Blake with the National Hurricane Center. Idalia could make landfall as a Category 3 storm. Less than a year ago, Hurricane Ian hit the Gulf Coast, killing 150 people. Classes are canceled at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. A faculty member was shot and killed in a shooting yesterday, prompting a campus-wide lockdown. A suspect was arrested, but...
At this time, we are not releasing the name of the suspect, as formal charges have not yet been filed.
That's UNC Chief of Police Brian James. A federal judge sets former President Donald Trump's D.C. election conspiracy trial for March 4th, a day before Super Tuesday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 76 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. 46 Florida counties now under a state of emergency ahead of Hurricane Idalia's landfall. Governor Ron DeSantis says some residents along Florida's west coast are now being given the order to evacuate.
When you're told to evacuate, you do not need to get in your car and drive so you're outrunning the storm or going to a different state or driving hundreds and hundreds of miles. If you're in a vulnerable area, you evacuate to higher ground in a safe structure. A lot of times you don't even need to leave your county.
And the governor echoing the National Hurricane Center's warning that storm surge is likely to be the biggest threat, with nearly 12 feet expected in some areas. Idalia forecast to make landfall as a major Cat 3 storm sometime tomorrow morning. Well, there's a new interim mayor in Century. Town Council President Luis Gomez Jr. was appointed last night to replace former Mayor Ben Boutwell after his surprise resignation here in the last few weeks. Gomez will hold that seat until a special election can be held to elect a new mayor for the rest of the current term. Gomez had to resign his council seat in order to accept that appointment as mayor. His appointment did pass with a 3-1 vote. The council has set a special election for November to fill both the mayor's seat and Gomez's former town council seat. Motorcyclist taken to the hospital in critical condition after a crash with a semi on I-10 yesterday happened near Holt. An FHP says a 31-year-old Pensacola man was riding on I-10, didn't slow down in time, and rear-ended the back of a semi-truck. Escambia County emergency responders say a child had to be taken to the hospital after a near drowning. That was yesterday at a hotel swimming pool about 6 p.m. There's currently no update on that child's condition. The countdown continues to the grand opening of the new Baptist Hospital campus on Brent Lane. Hospital officials say comfort and convenience for those we serve are the forefront of the design. All the patient rooms will include a one-stop shop engagement system that features a call button, entertainment, and meal ordering, as well as an interactive digital e-care board.
All patient rooms also offer a sleeper sofa, ensuring comfort for loved ones at a patient's side. The surgery department is equipped with a private elevator solely for surgical patients to maintain privacy throughout their stay.
And other amenities at the new campus will include a bistro with a pizza oven. Apparently, they'll have a Panera Bread on campus there and a retail pharmacy. Well, power companies flocking to the state ready for Idalia. Duke Energy says 4,500 workers from the Midwest are on their way to Florida. Crews from FPL also standing by. An FPL spokesperson says that they train for times like this year round. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Temperatures in the 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. As you go into Wednesday, we will have a chance at a few stray showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 90s. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 76 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and it is 75. In Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
California's governor says he's tripling highway patrol resources in Los Angeles to crack down on the recent string of smash-and-grab robberies at retail stores. It comes as the city announced it is forming a task force.
Today, a major step forward to help fight brazen crimes like these in Los Angeles, where scenes of smash-and-grab robberies have become all too familiar. Most recently at Nordstrom's, where a mob used bear spray to disarm security.
Yeah, these flash robs in California are crazy. $100,000 in stolen merchandise, $300,000 in stolen merchandise. The Nordstrom's in, I think it was San Francisco, just closed its doors, and they had been leading the like turnaround of the downtown area like 30 or 40, 50 years ago, something like that. And now it's just kind of overwhelmed them, and they have completely given up. The question is, you know, to what degree do we need to be concerned about this here in Florida? Yesterday, had an interesting opportunity to talk to Attorney General for the state of Florida, Ashley Moody. General, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, you know, we have been doing a lot year after year to make sure Florida is well positioned to fight back and prevent this type of activity, but it is on the rise. Historically, retailers are saying they have never seen so much what we call shrink. That's a dissipation of their inventory due to theft and other reasons. And really, you can blame it on leadership in these cities and states where they are not enforcing.
Now, hurricane warning is in effect from, and eventually it's going to cruise through parts. Right now, hurricane warning is in effect from Sarasota all the way.
Invitation to steal. And a lot of times they use juveniles to do the work because they know the prosecutor's there and others won't do anything to juveniles. And so in Florida, we've taken a completely different approach. As you may remember, 2 years ago, seeing this trend, I launched a statewide task force in addition to a data sharing mechanism so that we can share information with law enforcement and retailers. And we're now breaking up large criminal theft rings. And, you know, it's a testament to policies, having the right policies and making sure those are put in place, but also to the hard work of law enforcement across our state.
Yeah, no, it's good to not see them as much, but as you say, it's still been something of a problem. I was talking to some of our local law enforcement, and one of the things that I learned and didn't realize that I guess in Florida, you know, if you are the shop owner, you are lawfully allowed to detain and even hands-on detain somebody who's shoplifting or stealing from you. You know, typically there's this misdemeanor rule that the cop has to be present and so forth, but particularly when it comes to shoplifting or theft, that we have a little bit more latitude for people who own the property to solve this problem individually until the police can arrive, right?
And a lot of that's going to depend on individual stores. Some have policies where they don't want their employees to get involved. And,
right.
You know, we've seen that become a problem, almost unconscionable. I don't know if you remember in Georgia recently, a longtime employee, older lady stepped in and tried to prevent it and got hurt and really did try to protect her store. And they ended up putting her on leave, but brought her back. And I thought that was the right thing to do. I mean, you know, folks that have worked at these places a long time, they're vested in the success. Some of these small stores, but even the larger retailers, they know what it means when product goes missing and these people come in and just take what they want. It means that folks that are law abiding pay a lot more at the cash register because of it.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important we focus on this. Florida will never be what these other states and cities have become as it pertains to retail theft, because we have a no tolerance policy. We're going to go after criminals. We're going to make sure our communities are safe. People feel safe shopping. And that's going to continue to be a priority as long as I'm Attorney General, of course.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. I just don't ever want to see it here. But I feel for a lot of these shop owners kind of feeling overwhelmed. And what do you do? And, you know, it's one of those kind of, I don't know, vulnerable points in the system where you wouldn't normally think, hey, the store is going to be overwhelmed by a group of mass juveniles shoplifting at large, massive amounts. But, you know, how do you solve that? And I think the typical Floridian response might be something like, well, they better not do that between me and my shotgun. I'm like, yeah, but you don't want to be in, you know, in the situation where you're shooting somebody who's merely stealing merchandise, because you got to justify that decision by a real threat of life or limb endangerment. And I mean, just, you know, it's an odd spot in the law. I did want to talk with you, Attorney General, that you recently came to Pensacola and you talked about the horrific state of opioids and fentanyl deaths, and that we are one of the worst counties in the entire state, and that this is a massively growing problem, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we are seizing so much fentanyl coming into the country now. I think just since Biden got in office, we've seized enough to kill our entire American population 30 times over. Now, what was interesting about the medical examiner's district in North Florida, right where you guys are, that four-county area, the tip of Florida, where it would come over down I-10 into our state, is just within 2 years, we saw such a sharp increase. It's now the number one per capita area for opioid and fentanyl deaths. It's just skyrocketed. In fact, it doubles the state average for per capita overdose deaths. And it really is kind of the tip of where it's coming in. And the first thing we have to do is make sure people are aware. The drugs that folks may have taken in the past, and again, I will always say, not just as Attorney General, but as a mother, as a former drug prosecutor, as a judge, don't use illicit substances. Yeah. It will throw your life so out of whack on a downward spiral, but it is more dangerous now than it has ever been, because they're now being laced with lethal doses of fentanyl. And so I'm hearing from parents every day that are losing kids. They have no idea what they're taking. They're getting something off the street that looks like a Xanax or an Adderall. It's killing them. And so when we say one pill can kill, it's not an exaggeration. It is reality right now. And certainly we appreciate you bringing that to the forefront of people's minds.
I'm hoping, I guess I don't know what the answer here is. That's why I wanted to ask. In philosophy, we always have this concept called moral hazard, which is if you make something that's dangerous safer, you get more of the bad behavior. You know, seatbelts make people drive more incautiously because they know their life is, or airbags, same thing. We know that Narcan even though some of the, you know, the recent additives to the opioids are not susceptible to Narcan because it's a different substance. But Narcan is able to bring people back, and lots of people have their lives saved by Narcan. But at the same time, that's well known. And so people will, you know, I guess, have like Narcan parties or where they, you know, they're trying to get high, maybe even to the point where they overdose, but they know they can be brought back. Is Narcan causing more moral hazard kind of problems than it's really solving? What's your opinion about that?
You know, I think it's important that our first responders have Narcan on hand always. In fact, we've set up programs. I have one that we just launched recently called Helping Heroes that makes sure that they are stocked with those, that their agencies can sign up to get Narcan. You know, look, there are so many deaths that occur even when folks are there's an attempt to revive someone using naloxone, which is the which is what Narcan is, but that it is no guarantee. And with other drugs coming on the market where they're being where fentanyl or a synthetic heroin is or opioid is being mixed, there's no guarantee it's going to be effective. There's new drugs called Trank, xylazine, which if you take it in some ways, it mutes the effect of Narcan or naloxone. And so, you know, I don't believe that anyone would take more thinking that they're going to be brought back by Narcan because it's not a fail-safe. In fact, I would encourage any agency, first responding agency, that doesn't have it on hand to consider that. At this point, the sheer volume of fentanyl in our country and its potency is having a devastating effect. And I just want to put this in perspective. In 1984, when Nancy Reagan first said, just say no, we were only losing 3,200 people nationwide to overdose deaths. Fast forward to now, in the present, where I'm saying, please don't use drugs. One pill will kill. We are losing 110,000 people a year.
And yeah, so it's unimaginable.
We have to start working outside our comfort zone, taking drastic steps. We are at a crisis.
Yeah, I completely, and when you start thinking about those numbers then compared to now, it is just about unfathomable. Last thing that I wanted to ask you about, Attorney General Ashley Moody, is obviously we have this storm. Idalia is coming towards the Big Bend area. How is your office preparing for that? What does your office do in order to prepare for that? I would imagine that the primary things you have to deal with are, allegations involving looting, price gouging, that kind of stuff, storm supply preparation. But you tell me, what do you guys have to do to prepare for this?
Right. And so we have activated our price gouging hotline in all counties that have a state of emergency right now. And what that means is folks need to stock up, right? They can go on our website, myfloridalegal.com, download a hurricane guide. It'll tell you everything you need, water, food, can openers that are not electric, you know, flashlights, batteries, all of those things. But what those are considered are essential items. And when there's a state of emergency, the law bars people from charging an unconscionable price for these essential items, just taking advantage of people because we happen to be in an emergency. And so we're on alert for that. We have a price gouging hotline, 1-866-9-NO-SCAM. We have an app you can download, No Scam, which allows you to put in the right information so we can stop that as soon as it's reported. We review all of those complaints. And so we have rapid response teams right now. If someone were to report price gouging as they're preparing, we would be able to respond. And of course, we are incredibly vigilant after a storm, making sure there aren't folks coming in, taking advantage of people at their most vulnerable time that have had damage. And so, you know, it really is a joint effort. We do all of these things. We have people at the ready, but we have to have the public talking to us so we can do our job. So that's incredibly important.
Well, Attorney General Ashley Moody, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time this morning. I wasn't even sure if we'd be able to fulfill the the scheduling just because of the storm pending and all the various extra duties that you guys in the cabinet would have to take on because of that. But I really do appreciate the time. I thank you for the work on law and order, of course, essential, the backbone of the society of what Florida really is today. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great, Andrew. Have a great day.
Absolutely. 549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of southern sides. Every Tuesday is two times Tuesday. Buy the six-piece shrimp dinner and get six more shrimp for free every Tuesday. Wednesday is lunch special day. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where Southern and seafood meet.
It's not too late.
Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free.
That's right, loan-free.
PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Jay Williams Band, a high-energy rock and roll country funk party band. It's Bands on the Beach with the Jay Williams Band this Tuesday night at 7.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you good?
Everybody thought it might be cool to own a BSA leather jacket after this video, and then a couple of more years and news stories later, it was no longer so cool to own a BSA
That's right.
jacket
Especially
anymore.
Especially if you're walking in a park near a restroom. And no.
Yeah.
Come on, we're newsmakers. And it's now Hurricane Idalia, right?
It is Hurricane Idalia. That's exactly right.
Man.
Barely, but that's how this works. Expected to get up to a Category 3 perhaps today and make landfall tomorrow, about 27 or so hours from now. They're saying 8 to 10 tomorrow morning is kind of, which would be, we're right in the middle of that zone, plus about 2 hours. So in the Big Bend, not expected to affect us other than a little bit of outlying rain, which we're starting to see a little bit today already. But, not major effects here. But that's why we were able to send some of our people over to help, because once it was clear that we weren't going to be affected, hey, safe for them to go because they're not needed here at home. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Charges will not be dropped against the father of an Illinois man accused of staging a deadly mass shooting at an Independence Day parade last year. That ruling means that Robert Cremo Jr. will face trial in November on 7 counts of reckless conduct. He's accused of helping his son obtain a firearm that he used in the shooting that killed 7 people in Chicago. Special session of the Tennessee State Legislature descended into chaos yesterday, saw citizens removed from galleries in their house, as well as a walkout by the Democratic caucus after a lawmaker was silenced. House Speaker Cameron Sexton silenced Representative Justin Jones after deeming him out of order on 2 occasions.
This is the Justins.
One of the Justins.
There you
absolutely.
Go. The guys who were thrown out and then reelected,
yes.
Their protest gun right. Go ahead.
Yeah, a whole big thing happened yesterday. That's all I've got on that story. I don't really know what happened, but we'll get more on that here through the morning. And the Department of Transportation hitting American Airlines with a big fine, the biggest ever fine, actually, for keeping passengers waiting on the tarmac. They're facing an over $4 million fine for long delays with passengers on airplanes on 43 flights, affecting more than 5,800 passengers.
I never really understand these stories because... And, you know, maybe it's just my overinflated sense of what I would do. But, you know, I hear about these stories. Well, I was stuck on the tarmac for 8 hours. What? What? I mean,
it's a long time.
An hour in, there's a riot. Like, I don't understand.
What
you
are you going to do? Have them shoot the tubes out the window like an airplane?
We're getting
so you can
off
get out?
This plane. But
have you ever been stuck on a plane where you're just sitting there
not
waiting?
Not like that. I mean, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. But
it's no fun. I
get that how the brain and psychology and sociology works is that, you know, you talk yourself into, well, it's just going to be 5 more minutes. I don't want to get off now. I don't want to cause a ruckus now. But, you know, there's a big difference between an hour and 6 or 7 or 8 hours.
I think my longest was about 5 hours.
What?
I was at an airport in, it was one of the Greek islands, Cyprus or something. I was sitting on the airplane and we weren't allowed to get off the plane and
that's
about
the part.
5-6 hours. It was terrible. That's a long time.
I mean,
time.
That's kidnapping at that point. That's what I don't understand about it. It's just, how does this happen? And how does it, I mean, it doesn't happen often, like, you know, in the grand scheme of how many flights happen, but often enough that you think, what in the world? How is that possible? What was there was something else. The Justin story.
The Justin's, yeah.
I kind of imagine him looking at him like, what you going to do? You going to kick me out, legislature? Just be back in a year, you know? So
your move, B-word.
That's exactly right. We've tried that plan. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, 3M. It unofficially, but it looks like 3M is going to settle $6 billion in the lawsuit over the earplugs. Remember, these are the defective earplugs that they sold to the military. And that, you know, that actually they were developed by Aero Technologies, but it's a company that 3M acquired in 2008. Oh, you wish you hadn't. So, you know, the liability for this, they were thinking, might be as much as $10 billion. The reason this is particularly relevant, lots of people in the Army had their hearing damaged because the earplugs did not function the way they were supposed to protect, you know, your hearing, obviously. And if you're firing guns or particularly artillery or anything like that, the damage to your eardrums is huge, right? So the class action lawsuits across the United States. But the reason this is particularly relevant for here is because this lawsuit was litigated in Pensacola.
Oh.
Pensacola is where the lawsuit, U.S. District Judge Casey Rogers was the district judge. 2019, the litigation was about 30% of all federal court cases nationwide at one point, like by number, because it was 200,000, I think, people that were involved in the 260,000 lawsuits total in aggregate for this particular class of cases. Again, $6 billion, 3M. And here's... This is just how the markets work, okay? 3M is going to pay $6 billion, it looks like, to settle these lawsuits. I mean, nothing's 100% fine, but that's, you know, what the reporting is. It looks like they've agreed to. Had been 5.5 yesterday is what they were thinking was possible, but that was unofficial, unconfirmed. But shares of 3M went up 5% on early reports that a settlement was imminent. You say, how can a company gain value when they're going to be laying out $6 billion, or the earlier reports, $5.5 billion? Well, because it would be over. And the uncertainty would not be hanging over the company anymore because, you know, the liability was already baked in at a range, right? Let's say 4 to 10 billion. And if the actual number comes in at 6 and, you know, people are like, well, that's better than 8, let's buy. You know, that's, I mean, that's just how that works. It seems counterintuitive that a company could be agreeing to a huge settlement and yet make, you know, the company becomes more valuable. But that's, you know, that's why it happens. 437-1620, 437-1620. The Pentagon is, you know, we have recruitment issues across the board, right? I think it's all of the services. I seem to remember that there might be one service, and I want to say it might have been the Marines. I forget who it was, but there was one service that was doing okay on its recruitment. But now you've got a proposal in line to allow applicants to use a calculator on its Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, the ASVAB, which is designed to help alleviate the scoring slump and the recruiting slump so that kids who can't score highly enough to qualify for enlistment because their math capability is so low would allow them to use the calculator in order to pass it. And on the one hand, you say, well, you know, everybody can use a calculator. On the other hand, you say, well, why do we have the ASVAB in the first place? You know? And if it's not to test abilities, skills, education, well, this is how they're going to solve it. Make the test easier.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.